Let's turn to God's Word again. We're reading just now from Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. We're going to read from verse 11. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, 'Father, give me a share of property that's coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had, and he took his journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. He was longing to feed, and he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. No one gave him anything. When he had come to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' He arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. 'For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." We will end our reading just there. We must note that this parable was given as a result of the tax collectors and sinners, the tax collectors and Pharisees being upset with Jesus. We find that in the opening verses of the chapter. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." I love that statement. This man receives sinners and he eats with them. And they're mad because of that. They're such hypocrites. And we realize that here is something which causes the Lord Jesus to be disturbed. And he decides to tell them three parables, and this is the last of the three parables. This is the parable of the lost son, or we call it the prodigal son. And as we look at this parable, we must understand, as we teach the children, that parables were given by the Lord Jesus. They were earthly stories, and they had heavenly meaning. And here, this parable is teaching us the great truths of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see here in the passage, and I'm going to go through it quickly because I haven't much time. But we see in the from verse 11 down to verse 13, the rebellion of this son, this youngest son. He said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. And not many days later, the young son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into the far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. What is the very first thing that we find about this young man? We find that he is a rebellious young man. He's living in a lovely home. He has got everything that he needs. And yet, he is rebellious. He wants what is coming to him now. He's not prepared to wait. He's saying, I want it now. And in really, in actual fact, he's saying, Dad, I don't like you. I don't like where I am. I don't like being in this place. I don't like having to work this hard. I don't want any of these things. And I know you're an old man and you'll soon be dead. So please give to me what I need here and now. And as I look at that young man, I see that as a picture of humanity in regards of man's relationship with God. Because I can see this same great rebellion. They take everything from God. All the blessings that he gives. All the goodness, because every good and perfect gift come down from above. And this, as a result of this, they say, I don't want anything to do with God. Don't ask me to go and worship him. Don't ask me to follow this Jesus. Don't ask me to do any of these things. I want all of these things, but I don't want any of him. And that's how it is. That's how it is with all mankind. Until such times as they have a great change of heart, which we'll see in a moment. And so we can see the rebellion. I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who's like that. Say, well, I'll give a nodding acquaintance. I have a nodding acquaintance with God, but don't ask me about anything more. I'm not prepared to give him anything. I want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. And so we have this rebellion. And then as we follow down the parable, next we see his ruin. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. And so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him out to the field to feed pigs. And he was longing to feed with the pods, to be fed rather with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Here he does, he goes off on his own. He runs away from his father and said, I just want the money, now I've got it, now I've got what I need, I am out for a good time. Doesn't last very long until there's great ruin. And in that great ruin, he still remains for a period of time. And now, my dear friends, I look around me today in our community, and I realize that there are so many, many, many people who, whilst they have nothing to do with God, and whilst they take everything that God has given to them, their life is in a mess. Their homes and their families are in a mess. And they are in ruin. And yet they live there, just as this man lived amongst the pigs, a Jewish man amongst pigs, and wanting to sit down at the trough with the pigs and eat the food that the pigs were eating. What a dreadful state to find himself in. Some people will say, but Alfie, I'm not like that. I look at them and I say, yeah, it seems to me as though you are. Look at your life. Look at how you're living. Look at how you're treating your family and your friends. And most of all, look at how you're treating God. He is here in ruin. We see his rebellion in the story. We see his ruin in the story. But then things slowly start to change. We can see here also, as we follow on the story, his regret and his reasoning. Verse 17 it says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough, and I perish here with hunger? Here we see light beginning to dawn in this young man's soul. He starts to think, he starts to reason, and he comes to realize the mess that he has made of his own life. And he starts to think about his father's house and all the things that he could be enjoying, all the blessings that he could have, all the love that would be poured upon him by his father. And he even thinks about the servants. He said, those servants are well fed and well cared for. My father cares for them. And here I am amongst these stinking pigs. And I perish with hunger. My dear friends, I love it whenever people start to talk like this. Whenever they start to be honest with themselves and they realize that what they have in their life, whilst they're putting on a good face, is nothing. And inwardly they're wasting away. And sadly, soon they will be separated from God for all eternity. So we have the regrets now that are setting in as he reasons with himself. I like what it says here, he came to himself. And then we see also what follows that is repentance. Verse 18 says, he says, I will arise and I will go to my father, and I will say to my father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. My dear friends, I want you to listen to the words of the man here. He's rehearsing what he will do. He said, I've had enough of this. I don't want any more of this. I'm sick of this. I know that I'm dying. And I know that my father is everything that I need. And I'm loved by him even though I've forsaken him. He says, I will go to my father. And I will say to my father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. No longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. Can I challenge you this morning, dear folk, as you sit here? Has there ever been a time in your life when you've come to yourself and you realized the awful spiritual state that you're in? Has there ever been a time when you've cried out in repentance to the triune God of heaven? I know that this word repentance has become a bad word just now in our crazy world. The Word of God very clearly tells us before men and women can be saved, before they can be rescued and set free and regenerate and redeemed, they must come to own their own sin and to repent from it. So this man in this story is saying, I will repent. And as we read the story on, we know that he does exactly that. I remember the day, I remember the night when I fell on my knees in repentance of my sin, just like this young man, and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, and I know that my sin deserves hell, but I know that you are a gracious God. You're a God of grace and mercy and kindness, and I know that you sent your Son so that I might live. I repent of my sin. And I embrace Jesus Christ. And so there is that repentance. And then what do we see next? We see his return in verse 20. I'm doing this so quickly because we don't have time. He said, and he arose and he came to his father. But whilst he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. What I love here in that verse, folk, is this, that the father saw him while he was still a long way off. We're inclined to think that the father saw him right at a distance as a little speck. I don't believe that. The father saw him when he was in the far country. The father saw him when he heard him when he repented. And the father went out to meet him whilst he is still a long way off. Conveys to me the wonderful love of God, the wonderful mercy and kindness of God towards a hell-deserving sinner such as this. But he repents and he returns. And he speaks to his father, and his father has compassion on him, and his father kisses him. And then sixthly, we see the restoration that's here. It's lovely. Verse 21, the son said to his father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Lovely words. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer to be called one of your sons. And before he could go on to say, make me one of your hired servants, the father interrupts. The father said to his servants. He spoke to his servants. And he says to his servants, bring quickly the best robe. Not any old robe. Bring the best robe. And put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. Oh, my dear friends, can you see there the love of the Father? This is a young man that is flew in the face of love and kindness. This is a young man who says, I can't wait until you die. And yet the Father, there's such compassion upon him. He goes and finds the best robe in the house and he puts it on him. He goes and finds one of the finest rings in the house and he puts the ring in his finger. He goes and finds the most up-to-date and beautiful shoes and puts it on his feet. There he stands now with this beautiful robe and this beautiful robe. And these beautiful shoes, all provided by the Father. What a picture this is of the child of God in repentance. How that we stand today before Almighty God robed in the righteousness of Christ. I am covered over with the robe of righteousness my Father gave to me. I am covered over with the precious blood of Jesus, and He lives in me. Oh, what joy it is to know my Heavenly Father loved me so and gave to me my Jesus. When He looks at me, He sees not what I used to be, but He sees Jesus. Here is the restoration. Can you picture it? He's standing there. All the filthy clothes have been removed and this beautiful robe has been put on him. And he stands with his dad, with his arm around him, welcoming him home. And then seventh and finally, we see the rejoicing and the resurrection. Verse 23 and 4 reads like this. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Because today we must eat and we must celebrate. You know what the Lord says? There is great joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. There is great joy just here. Why is there great joy? Verse 24 gives us the answer. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. He's dead and alive again. He's lost and he's found. You see, as we look at that, we realize, as we compare scripture with scripture, as we compare great doctrines of truth with great doctrines of truth, we realize that what the Lord Jesus is teaching here, and it's taught through the Word of God, is that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You hath He made alive who were dead in your trespasses and in your sins. So he realizes. He said, we must celebrate because my son was dead. He's now alive again. He was lost and is found. And I know in the light of Holy Scripture that each time a sinner returns and comes and confesses and repents of their sin and trusts Jesus Christ, there is joy in heaven. You know that great joy that comes knowing the Lord Jesus and knowing that you're reconciled to a holy God. My dear friends, in closing, let me say this, that this is the life story of every child of God. I have no doubt about that whatsoever. You know, sometimes when I ask people, you know, are you a Christian? And they said, oh yes, I'm a Christian. And I'd say, well, how did you become a Christian? Could you tell me? They don't seem to have any idea. I had somebody the other day who said, I've always been a Christian. Nobody has always been a Christian. There must be a time. Unlike this prodigal, we come to our senses and we trust the Lord Jesus. And in doing so, we're brought from darkness into light and from the power of Satan unto God. Why am I speaking on this morning? Because in a few minutes, we will have a baptismal service, and Elijah and June will testify to what we have just talked about. We will take them out. We will bury them in baptism. And as we raise them up again, it will testify to the fact that they have died in Christ and that they have been raised in newness of life. Listen to what Paul says in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How can we who are dead to sin live in it any longer? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him in baptism unto death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so too we will walk in newness of life. Elijah and June were dead. They are now alive again. They were lost, but they are now found. Today they will declare before this congregation that they have died in Christ and have been raised with him in newness of life. Like Paul, they will declare Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a wonderful thing when people get baptized. We know it doesn't save them. Don't think about that for a moment. But it's wonderful that they're declaring that they were dead and are alive again. And declaring that they have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless they live. Yet not them, but Christ lives in them. And the life that they now live, they live by the power of the Son of God who loved them. Gives himself for them. So do you understand baptism then? I want everybody, even to the children, I want you all to understand what's happening here. These young people are going to declare before you that they're not what they used to be. That like the prodigal, they have come to themselves, to their senses. And they have come to Jesus Christ, who has given to them new life. And they're telling through their baptism that they're dead to the old life. And they're raised in newness of life.